Gospel Classics, The Book of Mormon, President Marion G. Romney, 1897 to 1988, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Make reading the Book of Mormon a few minutes each day a lifelong practice. All of us need uninterrupted association with the Spirit of the Lord. Marion G. Romney was sustained as the Church's first assistant to the 12 Apostles on April 6, 1941, and was ordained an apostle on October 11, 1951. He served as second counselor to Church Presidents Harold B. Lee and Spencer W. Kimball, and later as first counselor to President Kimball. After President Kimball's death, President Romney resumed his position in the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and became president of the Quorum on November 10, 1985. He died on May 20, 1988, at the age of 90. President Romney was serving as second counselor in the First Presidency when he gave this talk in General Conference on April 6, 1980, the 150th anniversary of the Church's restoration in this dispensation. The Lord has put us under obligation to teach the Book of Mormon. He said that He sent Moroni to reveal it, see Doctrine and Covenants, section 27, verse 5, and that through His mercy He had given the prophet Joseph power to translate it, Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 8, also Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 29, and that it contains the truth and the Word of God, Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verse 26, and the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles and to the Jews also, Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 9. Most correct book. The prophet Joseph Smith told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion, and a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. Nephi tells us that its contents shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and the nations who shall possess them, the teachings of the Book of Mormon, shall be judged of them according to the words which are written, 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 22. For me, there could be no more impelling reason for reading the Book of Mormon than this statement that we who have the Book of Mormon shall be judged by what is written in it. Moroni says that the very reason the book has been given to us is that we may know the decrees of God, Ether chapter 2, verse 11, set forth therein, and by obedience to them escape the calamities which are to follow disobedience. To the early saints, the Lord spoke rather sharply about remembering the Book of Mormon's teachings. Your minds in times past, He said to them, have been darkened because of unbelief and because you have treated lightly the things you have received, which vanity and unbelief have brought the whole church under condemnation. And this condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion, even all. And they shall remain under this condemnation until they repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 54 through 57. Prior to this, He had told them that the Book of Mormon and the Holy Scriptures are given of me for your instruction, Doctrine and Covenants, section 33, verse 16. On another occasion, He had said, the elders, priests, and teachers of this church shall teach the principles of my gospel which are in the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 12. It is, of course, obvious that unless we read, study, and learn the principles which are in the Book of Mormon, we cannot comply with this direction to teach them. Fill minds with truth. There is another reason why we should read the Book of Mormon. By doing so, we will fill and refresh our minds with a constant flow of that water which Jesus said would be in us, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 4, verse 14. We must obtain a continuing supply of this water if we are to resist evil and retain the blessings of being born again. The great overall struggle in the world today is, as it has always been, for the souls of men. Every soul is personally engaged in the struggle, and he makes his fight with what is in his mind. In the final analysis, the battleground is for each individual within himself. Inevitably, he gravitates toward the subjects of his thoughts. Ages ago, the wise man thus succinctly stated this great truth, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. If we would escape the lusts of the flesh and build for ourselves and our children great and noble characters, we must keep in our minds and in their minds true and righteous principles for our thoughts, and their thoughts to dwell upon. We must not permit our minds to become surfeited with the interests, things, and practices of the world about us. To do so is tantamount to adopting and going along with them. For the experience of the race sustains the conclusion of him who said that vice is a monster of so frightful mien, as to be hated needs but to be seen. Yet seen too oft familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, and then embrace. If we would avoid adopting the evils of the world, we must pursue a course which will daily feed our minds with and call them back to the things of the Spirit. I know of no better way to do this than by daily reading the Book of Mormon. In all dispensations, the Lord has counseled His people to keep in their minds and thoughts the truths He has revealed to them. To the early saints of this dispensation, He said, "Let the solemnities of eternity rest upon your minds." Doctrine and Covenants, section 43, verse 34. This counsel followed His statement to the elders. "Ye are not sent forth to be taught, but to teach the children of men the things which I have put into your hands by the power of my Spirit. And ye are to be taught from on high." Doctrine and Covenants, section 43, verses 15 through 16. "Search the Scriptures." John chapter 5, verse 39, said Jesus to his carping critics, who, being surfeited with the things of this world, rejected him. In the Scriptures they could, if they would, learn the truth about Him and the things of eternal life which He taught them. Teachings will strengthen youth. I am persuaded, my brothers and sisters, that it is irrational to hope to escape the lusts of the world without substituting for them as the subjects of our thoughts the things of the Spirit. And I know that the things of the Spirit are taught with mighty power in the Book of Mormon. I believe with all my heart, for example, that if our young people could come out of our homes, thoroughly acquainted with the life of Nephi, imbued with the spirit of his courage and love of truth, they would choose the right when the choice is placed before them. How marvelous it would be if, when they must make a decision, there would flash into their minds from long and intimate association with them the words of Nephi, "I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save He shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which He commandeth them." 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 7. And when the going gets rough and temptation to abandon the course of righteousness presses upon them, they might think of His plea to His wayward brothers. "Let us be faithful," He said, "in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, He is mightier than all the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50, yea, or even than his tens of thousands?" 1 Nephi chapter 4, verse 1, also 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 15. If our young folks become familiar with the teachings of the Book of Mormon, they will not only be inspired by the examples of Nephi, the 2,000 sons of Helaman, see Alma chapter 53, and other great Book of Mormon characters to choose the right, they will also be so schooled in the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ that they will be able to know and understand what is right. From almost every page of the book, there will come to them a moving testimony that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Redeemer and Savior. This witness alone will be a sustaining anchor in every storm. In the Book of Mormon, they will find the plainest explanation of Christ's divine mission and His atonement to be found anywhere in sacred scriptures. They will be familiar with the great fundamental basic virtues. The Book of Mormon is full of instructions concerning them. They will have learned that to be carnally minded is death, and that to be spiritually minded is life eternal. 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 39. They will know that the Lord God delights in chastity and virtue, which are most dear and precious above all things. Moroni chapter 9, verse 9, also Jacob chapter 2, verse 28. They will know that a violation of these sacred principles is in the sight of the Lord an abomination above all sins, save it be the shedding of innocent blood or denying the Holy Ghost. Alma chapter 39, verse 5. They will have learned the folly of putting their trust in the learning of men or in the riches of this world. See 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 28-30. As a matter of fact, there is no fundamental virtue about which they will not be taught. For in the Book of Mormon, as has already been said, is to be found the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 9, also section 19, verse 26. Practice daily reading to gain spirit. And so I counsel you, my beloved brothers and sisters and friends everywhere, to make reading the Book of Mormon a few minutes each day a lifelong practice. All of us need the uninterrupted association with the Spirit of the Lord. We need to take the Holy Spirit for our constant guide, that we be not deceived. I am persuaded by my own experience and that of my loved ones, as well as by the statements of the prophet Joseph Smith, that one can get and keep closer to the Lord by reading the Book of Mormon than by reading any other book. Don't be content with what someone else tells you about what is in it. Drink deeply from the divine fountain itself. I feel certain that if in our homes parents will read from the Book of Mormon prayerfully and regularly, both by themselves and with their children, the spirit of that great book will come to permeate our homes and all who dwell therein. The spirit of reverence will increase. Mutual respect and consideration for each other will grow. The spirit of contention will depart. Parents will counsel their children in greater love and wisdom. Children will be more responsive and submissive to the counsel of their parents. Righteousness will increase. Faith, hope, and charity, the pure love of Christ, will abound in our homes and lives, bringing in their wake peace, joy, and happiness. Note, published in the conference report, April 1980, pages 87 through 91. End of note. End of Gospel Classics, The Book of Mormon, by President Marion G. Romney.